Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. Something that's helped me stay in touch with my roots and the ever-changing cycles of the earth is doing ceremony as the seasons change and for the days we call cross-quarter days, the halfway points between the solstices and equinoxes that mark the beginning of each new season. Lugnasa is one of those cross-quarter days, and it's coming up. It's the celebration of the harvest of grains and, especially where I live, the start of the dog days of summer. You can join me on Zoom for ceremony to feel into Lugnasa energy on August 2nd. Check the show notes for a link to the event. In the last episode, I spoke about change and guided a drum journey with the elements so you could experience how they change. Now I'd like to touch on change as a transformative and healing process. That kind of transformative process may start with an event that shakes you up so much you don't feel like you'll ever be in control again. For me, it was the sudden death of my father, which coincidentally happened during my Chiron return and a week before my 50th birthday. My dad was the one I went to with all my problems. He was also the one who inadvertently started me down an earth-based spiritual path by showing me the wonders of nature when I was a kid, and he kept showing them to me my whole life. And then he was gone, and suddenly I had to figure out my own problems and find ways to keep the wonder and magic of nature in my life and start showing it to others. Here in the northeastern part of the United States, we are having crazy storm after crazy storm. In the Southwest, the heat has been unrelenting for days. Last week, while Americans were celebrating Independence Day, the Earth's average temperature was the hottest ever recorded. We are getting a collective shakeup, and all life on this planet is facing radical change. I was outside for my morning sit spot meditation, watching the birds and the squirrels and the spider who walked over my legs on the way to wherever she was going. And I spent some time thinking about how these beings are being affected by change. I have no doubt that more than human lives were lost to raging floods and excessive heat. The way humans treat the earth has a lot to do with the changing climate and why weather events are going to the extreme. I often tell you to get real about your life. Please get real about this, because well-being is for all beings, and we can't get there unless we figure out how to deal with our problems and how to keep the wonder and magic of the diversity of life in the world. So how do we deal with change? To be honest, I cry a lot. Sometimes I give in to the overwhelm and shut down because otherwise I can't breathe. And feeling the grief and anxiety that change can trigger is part of it. But it isn't empowering. There comes a time when we have to find a way out of that and do something. It's not easy, nor is it a straight line from whatever small or big thing screws up your life to stepping into your power as a healer or teacher or leader. My dad died while I was in the process of expanding my yoga studio into a second location. Just a couple weeks before, he was at the new space with me, giving me ideas on renovations I wanted to do. Looking back, it wasn't a good choice. I was barely making the rent at the first location and hadn't paid myself in years. But I really wanted my dad to see me doing something good in the world. The next couple of years were incredibly stressful. I threw myself into shamanic Reiki and got my license to care for wildlife and piled that on top of teaching 16 yoga classes a week to try to keep the business going, because I just needed something else in my life. The day the pandemic shut everything down, I was relieved. I let it go. I went to seminary on Zoom and rescued turtles and sat outside in a chair 6 feet away from the next one and watched my son graduate from high school in a mask. And I held my new grandbaby. And I decided to find new ways to be a healer. But you know, I didn't get through the journey of change without help. And that's why I'm excited to welcome Jen Van Vanskoten to the podcast once a month. Jen is a hot mess healer. She's more dumpster fire than rainbows and unicorns because, let's get real, so is life. Jen is a shamanic Reiki master practitioner who trained with me before the pandemic. And she's also a jewelry artist, a passionate ukulele player, and a kick-ass tarot reader and teacher. And we've been friends for a decade. I told Jen I was working with the theme of change, and she said, "I've got a tarot spread for that." Jen, I'm thrilled to have you here with me.
Thank you. I am also really excited to be here. I'm very excited to share some of what I've been doing with tarot for the last 10 plus years now. Today I want to talk about a tarot spread that I came up with to help us navigate change and transformation, because the two things really go hand in hand. And I don't think I know, I think pretty much everybody I know has gone through some kind of change and transformation in the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, like everybody. You know, we've seen so many things in the landscape of our lives just kind of fall apart and come back together, only to fall apart and come back together again. And a lot of times when these things happen, you know, we can kind of sense what's going on. We kind of know what's going on. My big thing with tarot and teaching other people how to read tarot is that I understand, I really believe, I know that all of us are intuitive. We all have intuition. It's just whether or not we feel comfortable using it, and learning how to use that intuition is really important, especially when you're trying to navigate big changes and big transformations like the ones that so many of us have been going through. So the two cards that I really want to focus on today, that I really want to talk about in terms of change and transformation, are two of probably the most dreaded cards in the entire tarot deck. I'm talking about the Tower and Death. And whenever I pull out either or both of these cards in a reading for someone, like, I can feel the tension coming up. It doesn't matter if I'm in the same room with them or if I'm, halfway across the country doing a reading via Zoom for someone. As soon as I tell them and show them, like, the Death card has come up or the Tower has come up, you can just feel the stress. And I want to kind of put the kibosh on that, because there's really no reason to stress out when you see either of these cards. First of all, to talk a little bit about them. Both of the cards belong to the Major Arcana, which is the set of 21 cards that come at the beginning of every traditional tarot deck. And there are some decks you can buy that are just these Major Arcana. And each one of them, it starts at the number 0 and goes to the number 20. 0 being the Fool, which is the very, very first card in the deck, and 20 being the World, which is kind of a significance of starting over, new journeys, things like that. There are some decks you can buy now that are just the Major Arcana cards. And all of the cards in between that 0 to 20, each one of those represents a different aspect of what a lot of philosophers and authors and historians call the hero's journey. And the hero's journey is this great story that's been retold over and over and over throughout history. And you can see it in any great work of literature, anything from Gilgamesh all the way up to like Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, right? It's very obvious. The hero's journey is this, the hero's journey is this journey of transformation and change. And it's, this is exactly what these first 21 cards of the tarot deck represent. In particular, these two, Death and the Tower, are really important when we're talking about navigating change and transformation, because they're all about, like I was saying earlier, they're all about things that fall apart and then come back together. And I always tell people too that, when you're doing a reading for yourself, right? The two things to remember to get the best possible reading for yourself, and when you're working with tarot, the two things I always tell people, remember that the tarot isn't going to tell you anything you don't already know. These things might not be in your conscious mind yet, but you probably have felt them on some level, and you were just kind of unsure, maybe as to what you were feeling or sensing. 99% of the time when I do a reading for someone, and I tell them these things that come up with the tarot cards, even if they don't, like, there are times when people just want me to do a cold reading for them, and I pull a card over and I start talking, and they're like, "Oh yeah," they're like, "I knew that." And I was like, "Yeah." So the tarot won't tell you, most of the time, it doesn't tell you anything that's shocking or new, but it will, it'll kind of crystallize what you've already sensed on some level. And the second thing to remember is that the quality of your reading depends on the quality of the questions you ask. So it all depends on your attitude, on your frame of mind going into it, And if you can go into working with the tarot, if you can go into a tarot reading with the idea that the information that you're getting there is going to empower you, and if you can ask the right questions to empower you, especially when you're talking about these two cards, death and the tower. You can go into that with an attitude of empowerment and taking action and understanding better, deeper understanding, then you're going to really get a lot more out of your reading. So that's just a little bit of my, that's how I approach the tarot. So we'll start with, so let's start talking about the death card, right? That's the card of ultimate transformation, right? Change always comes with transformation. And like I was saying earlier, I don't think I know anybody who has not experienced some kind of change or transformation in the last 3 or 4 years. And something to remember about the death card, right? Even though the tarot as a tool, thankfully, has evolved so much since the early decks, back in like the 1400s, right? The tarot has evolved to continue to stay relevant for us today in this day and age. But what you have to remember, when these cards were originally drawn, created, and when they started to be used for divination, death was pretty much a part of daily life for everybody. The first thing is that you had the Catholic Church at the time running the show, and that was all about focusing on doing good things in this life so you'd have a good life after you died. So there was very much a focus on death, maybe kind of indirectly, but there was very much a focus on what was going to happen after you left this life. And then second of all, think about the mortality rate for women, pregnant women, children, infants. The mortality rate was pretty high when these cards were developed. And so it seems kind of natural that they would put that reminder in there, that nothing is permanent, even us. And, and add to that, the third thing to remember about the death card is that, around the 1400s, 1500s, when these things were gaining in popularity, Europe, and they were used, they were developed in Italy and Europe and France. You have to remember as well that there were plagues and diseases that were ripping through Europe at regular intervals. So this, the death card was very much a reminder of how things change, of how, how things are going to change and transform. Pretty much, everybody's going to go through this. And the thing to remember too, the other thing to remember too, when you're working with the death card, is that when it comes up in a reading, it doesn't represent an actual physical death. And I think that's one of my biggest pet peeves with tarot. When somebody pulls the death card, like I've heard of some people who will actually like remove the death card when they're doing a reading for somebody else. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Leave it in there, because it talks about this major transformation. It talks about this shift from one plane of consciousness to another. And in the hero's journey, when we're going back to that idea of the hero's journey, the death card represents this shift in consciousness, usually precipitated by an event, not necessarily a plague, but an event that makes the main character of the story realize that they can't go back to the way they were before. Their old life has been completely stripped away, and it can leave you feeling pretty vulnerable and pretty raw. And it can, it can really be, it can be a real challenge to sit with that, sit with that situation and sit with those feelings. But again, it's important to sit with them. It's important to approach these things feeling empowered. And that's what I use the tarot for. So, the death card, think about, your favorite stories, Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit, which are two of my favorites lately. You think about these things that happened along the way to Frodo and Bilbo through their journeys, that, where at what point did they suddenly realize that they had shifted into a whole other plane of consciousness? When did they realize that their old life was completely gone and there was no going back, right? So that's the energy of the death card. So From there, we talk a little bit about the tower. And this is another one. And it's really interesting because there have been a couple times when I've done readings for people who don't know anything about tarot at all. But when they saw me flip over the death card, they just kind of, or the, I'm sorry, the tower, when they saw me flip over the tower, they just kind of went, ooh, that doesn't look good. And there's, you know, the symbolism in many of the decks that I use, you know, shows not just, you know, it's, you know, the symbolism of the tower is just, you know, this giant tower that is falling over from the base, you know, and it does seem there's a lot of movement, there's a lot of energy, there's, you know, a lot of shock. One of my softer, more gentler tarot decks associates it with the keyword of surprises, which, you know, could work because when these things happen, they're it's definitely a surprise. In the traditional tarot, it's all about having the rug pulled out from under you, right? What you thought was stable and secure turns out to be not so stable and secure. And when things like this happens, when things like this happen, it really calls for us to drop our illusions, you know, to or to examine our illusions surrounding these things. When you know, and when you compare it to the death card, you know, the two of them together give us a pretty potent message that nothing really lasts forever. And when the tower card comes up, it's really kind of a wake-up call that, you know, this is a good time for us to examine the foundations of our beliefs and the structures that we've built our lives on. You know, it could indicate a good time to sit down and start unpacking some of these beliefs that we've held for so long and maybe take a look and take inventory and see which of them aren't really serving our highest good anymore. And if they're worth holding on to or if they're worth releasing, you know, releasing to the death card and letting them. You know, turning them into compost and, you know, learning from them. So, if you're someone who's experiencing change or struggling with change and struggling with transformation and just not sure where to go, I created this tarot reading. And what I, you know, what I ask you to do is go through your deck and pull out the death card and pull out the tower card and put them right in front of you. And we use those as what are called significator cards because we're drawing on that energy. We're drawing on that energy of shifting away from an old way of thinking, shifting away from some beliefs that may or may not work for us anymore, and kind of going into looking into seeing, you know, what's happening, what's surrounding those. So it's a simple, you know, they're pretty simple. You can do them together or you can do them separately, which is one of the beautiful things about the tarot. So under the death card, pull three cards and you put them face down. And card one, moving from left to right, card one will be the question is, what is being lost? So this is a good time to ask yourself, you know, tell me a little bit more, you know, ask the tarot, tell me, you know, tell me a little bit more about what I have lost, about what is gone. And then card two is what lessons are being learned? You know, what have I learned from this loss? What kind of, you know, what kind of information have I learned from this? You know, what have I gained? Because there's always something to be gained in a loss. There's always some kind of lesson to be learned. There's an experience there that comes with every loss. And then card three is what can be healed? Because when we're going through this, when we're going through this loss, again, you know, there's profound opportunity for healing. So those are the three cards that you can put under the death card. And I'm a huge fan of three card readings because you can really get a lot of information. You can really get a lot of information from just a few simple cards. You know, you don't need to do huge, big spreads. And then if you want to move on, if you'd like to move on and use the tower reading, do the same thing. Under the tower card, pull three cards, put them face down in front of you, And card one is going to be what attitude or belief no longer serves you. And this one might be, you know, and again, this one, because we're working with the energy of the tower, this one, you know, might be a little challenging. It might be a little hard to swallow. It might be something that you need to meditate on or work with a little bit. But, you know, very often we find that, you know, what's holding us back the most is ourselves. You know, there's a wonderful scene for anybody who's seen the new Dungeons and Dragons movie that came out earlier this year. There's a wonderful scene where one of the characters is trying to do something and he can't seem to get past one of his ancestors who's like in his way. And he finally just like loses it and he punches the guy in the face. And it turns out that the person that he had to get past was himself. And this is really what it feels like when we cling to these attitudes and these beliefs that really aren't serving us. And again, you know, because with the tarot, you know, like I was saying earlier, the tarot tells us, you know, it doesn't really tell us anything we didn't already know. So, you know, I can imagine there'll probably be like a little bit of eye rolling, you know, when you flip that card over, because you'd be like, oh yeah, okay, I know. So time to move on. And then card two, what can be salvaged from this event or from the wreckage, you know, the wreckage of the tower crumbling and falling down. And again, you know, there's always something, just like under the death card, you know, there's always something that can be learned. There's always something that can be salvaged. There's always some good that can come of the destruction. It always works that way. So, and again, then this one, you know, and again, it might surprise you a little bit, but it'll still feel like something very familiar that you've sort of already known, you know, like, okay, like this is what I'm taking with me from this experience. There's a very famous saying, and I've seen it, and I'm not exactly sure who said it, but you know, there's that saying that goes, don't be willing, you know, don't be afraid to throw away a mistake that you made just because you spent a long time making it. And that really fits with this, you know, this whole idea, what can be salvaged from the event, from the wreckage, you know, don't worry so much about what you're losing, but look at what you can carry forward with you. And then the last one, again, you know, what now has space to grow? And again, because we have cleared out, you know, we've cleared out all this wreckage, we've cleared out all these things. And, you know, one of my friends was telling me recently, she's like, you know, when you experience these huge, profound shifts and change, you know, you get to decide who you're going to be now. You know, this is the opportunity for you to become a whole new person. You know, you don't have to hold on to the person that you were before if that wasn't working and if it didn't feel right. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing to watch us as human beings, as spiritual beings. You know, it's a beautiful thing to watch us evolve and grow and change. And that's, you know, that's really important. So, you know, you can take this reading, and, you know, if you feel like doing both cards at the same time is a little overwhelming, then, you know, space them out, do the death card one day. And then, you know, a few days later, do the tower card, or, you know, do them at the same time. And, you know, whatever you get from this, whatever you pull out, the information that comes up and that you pull out from this, from these tarot cards, you know, you can use them. You can use that information. You can use it to chat with your spirit guides and ask them for guidance. You know, that's my go-to thing, is when I get something like this, the first thing I do is I pick up my drum and I go have a little chat with my spirit guides. Like, okay, what do y'all want me to do now? And I listen, you know, you listen to them. And keep a journal is my other best piece of advice for people who want to try this deck or try this spread. Keep a journal and just write down whatever comes to you, whatever comes first. There's no wrong answers. There's no wrong answers when it comes to journaling with tarot. So you can just write down whatever comes to you and tuck it away, put it away somewhere, and then maybe look back on it in, a week or a month or 6 months and see what has unfolded since then. So I hope this is helpful, and I hope this also kind of eases your anxiety around these two very misunderstood tarot cards. Because I think when you, again, looking at them from a place of empowerment, they're extremely useful to anyone. They're extremely useful to anyone who is undergoing a big process of change and transformation. So.
Thank you, Jen. And as someone who is in the process of change right now, I can't wait to get my deck out and do some work with those two cards. Those spreads are going to be really useful to can kind of help me, give me some guidance, and like you said, to figure out what I already know, but I'm not really aware of. How can people get in touch with you if they want to do some more work with you?
Well, if anybody would like to get in touch with me, you can find me on social media right now. You can find me on the Hot Mess Healing Facebook page. And there is also a private group linked with that, also called Hot Mess Healing. Just look for the happy little dumpster fire, and you'll know you're in the right place. And you can contact me through there. You could set up an appointment to book a reading. I'm also working on setting up a bunch of tarot courses on Teachable on that website. That will be my new platform for teaching. So you can learn more about tarot. You can learn more about reading for yourself and reading for others.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Jen. And I am really looking forward to getting together again with you next month.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it too.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions, so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week, and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.